B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Well, let's go to the man who covers the Flyers, the Athletic's lead Flyers writer, Charlie O'Connor, joins us. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Charlie, I read your story. You were trying to twist my brain like a pretzel.
Well, you have to try to explain everything, and it was a win. You know, you get the win. It's their first series lead since all the way back in 2012, but it wasn't a dominating win. It was a close game.
Yes, and you make great points about why some Flyer fans should worry or shouldn't worry. And here's the thing that erases it for me, because I watched the same game you saw, and I saw the fact that Montreal poured it on in the second period, and the reason why the Flyers survived was this goaltender. And when you have that, I don't think there's any worry at all.
Yeah. If Carter Hart keeps playing as well as he played this entire game, really as well as he's played since they've gotten into the bubble in Toronto, the Flyers are going to go on a run, because you get that kind of goaltending, you know, that kind of ability just to shut down every time Montreal seemed to be around Carter Hart's net, he was just in complete control. And that's the kind of play that, you know, obviously you're stopping the puck, so you're preventing goals from going in, but it builds confidence across the roster. You know, the guys out there, they're willing to take more risks because they can see that the goalie behind them is going to be able to bail them out if maybe they give up a quality chance because they went for a rush down the ice to try to score. So if Carter Hart is this good through the entirety of the playoffs, the Flyers are in great shape. And that to me was the absolute best thing about this game for the Flyers, was just how strong Carter Hart was. He wasn't phased at all in his first real playoff game.
Yeah. Now you ask a legitimate question, because there are two ways you could look at this. That was their air of invincibility punctured because it wasn't a brilliant game, or was it an example of this team being so good that even if they're not at their best, they just win a playoff game?
Yeah, and I think the next couple games are going to really play into that, because we just got availability with the players up in Toronto, and Shane Gostisbehere made the point that he felt that the Canadiens benefited from the fact that they had actual playoff games, an actual playoff series before this one, whereas the Flyers were just playing round robin games, which were sort of playoff games, but not really. If they lost, it wasn't the end of the world. So he felt that Montreal benefited from kind of having that intensity level a little bit higher than the Flyers did going into this. Now, if the Flyers come out in game two and they're much closer to their best selves, then we can look at it and say, yeah, that's absolutely what it was. You know, the Flyers just needed a little bit of time to get that going. They didn't have their A game. They won anyway. And now they have their A game and they're going to steamroll this team. If they go out in game two and Montreal replicates the second period a couple more times, then you start wondering if this might not be the best matchup for the Flyers. But in the short term, the Flyers did what they had to do. They won game one. They took the series lead against a team they're supposed to beat. And now they only have to win three more games, and Montreal has to win four. So it's hard to be too critical. But at the same time, there was enough there that, you know, you want to see a better performance in games two and three than you saw in game one for the Flyers.
Yeah, and also you put out there that the Canadiens, you know, if you're worried at all, it's because the Canadiens play a style that forces the Flyers to operate at less than full strength, and they can steal a couple games. But Montreal just, to me, doesn't have enough firepower to score 3-4 goals to be able to accomplish that. How do you see that?
Yeah, I'm with you there. You know, they're a hardworking team. You got to give them credit. You know, you can see why they're capable of pulling the upset against a team that maybe isn't engaged. And the Pittsburgh Penguins in that play-in round were not engaged. They did not look like they were giving it their all, whether they were or not. They didn't look it, and Montreal took advantage, because this is a team that the Canadiens, they work you to death. You know, they chase down pucks. They create rebounds. But what they don't have is a lot of high-end skill. They don't create a lot of really dangerous chances beyond, you know, rebounds and second chance opportunities. And if you've got a guy like Carter Hart who's shutting them down, you're right. I don't know if they're going to be able to score many goals. And then it just comes down to whether the Flyers, with their superior high-end talent, can create the chances and then finish on the chances that they need to score 2, 3, 4, 5 goals in a game and really take over.
Here's another thing, though. Their best players are going to have to score. And they haven't yet. Drew hasn't, and Hayes hasn't scored in the restart. Now, it was a genius move to get Farabee on that line last night. But is that any cause for concern that the guys that are supposed to score, because there's only so many times you can rely on everybody else?
I think it's a mild concern. I mean, you obviously want to see those guys, you know, finishing on chances, but you have to trust that they're going to eventually. They obviously have the skill to do it. Giroux hit a post in the second period. I think Couturier's played good two-way play. He just hasn't necessarily been lighting the lamp. His passing's been fine. Jake Voracek is down on line three, so he's not dealing with, you know, the best line mates at the moment, but that's what happens when you got a guy like Joel Farabee and you want him up there because he's playing really well. So do the Flyers need their best scorers to play better? Yeah, I think they do. Maybe they don't necessarily need them to play amazing against this team, but they'll certainly need them if they get past Montreal. They'll certainly need guys like Giroux and Couturier and Voracek and Konechny. They're certainly going to need those guys to score a lot if they want to beat the best teams in the East. And I think that's the bigger worry is that maybe you give them this series to kind of, you know, work the rust off and get going. But assuming they win this series, they better be ready for rounds two and three.
And we're talking to Charlie O'Connor, covers Flyers for the Athletic. Now, Charlie, we're looking at this team and seeing like the depth that they have. But the lineup change for like the Voracek thing is interesting to me because normally he would not be like down with that move to the third line. And Vigneault seems to do that kind of thing to test people. Is that going to be a permanent thing? And how has he reacted to that?
My understanding is, you know, he's reacted okay. But I think what it really boils down to is that, you know, in the round robin games, the Voracek was with, was with Couturier and Giroux for the first two games. The line didn't look that great. Farabee comes up because Voracek doesn't play in the final round robin game. Farabee comes up in that third game against Tampa and looks great. And the top line was the best it had looked throughout the round robin. And the fact of the matter is that you're a head coach. You're not in the business of you know, making all your top players feel good. You're in the business of winning games. It's the playoffs. And right now, Joel Farabee, quite frankly, is clicking at a higher rate with Claude Giroux and Sean Couturier than Jake Voracek. And if that's the way it is, you got to do it. You got to do what's best for the team. And right now, Farabee up on that top line is best for the team. He had another great game last night. He obviously scored the game-winning goal. And also, having him up on the top line, obviously he's not, you know, maybe from a true talent standpoint, he's not quite the player that Jake Voracek is. But there's a benefit, too, to having a guy like Jake Voracek further down the lineup. Mm-hmm. Because then, you know, he's able to face off against teams' third and fourth lines rather than always have to face off against their top lines. Like, depth in the playoffs is huge in hockey. And I think, you know, having Jake Voracek on the third line, having James Van Riems like on the fourth line, you know, maybe it's not the best thing for those guys and for their numbers, but it certainly could pay dividends from a matchup standpoint just because the Flyers will just out-depth their opponents.
Let's talk about Gosses Bear. It's interesting that he was made available. He's in a precarious spot of being here one day and not the next. Would they dare change it up a little bit, even after a win, and go with Haig instead of Gosses Bear?
Yeah, I'm on the fence about that. You know, I wouldn't rule it out entirely because I do believe the coaching staff sees those guys as close. Obviously, they bring totally different elements to the table, but they see both those guys as useful players. My hunch is that they'll keep the lineup together for game two. They got the win. In the end, they did what they had to do to win. And I don't think Ghost looked terrible. I don't think Ghost was great. You know, I certainly don't think he played as well as he did on Saturday against Tampa, which was the game that essentially earned him his spot back in the lineup. But I don't think he was so poor that you have to rush him out. That said, you know, you lose a game and he doesn't play well, yeah, Robert Haig absolutely could get back in. Robert Haig was on that third pair through the entirety of that stretch run when the Flyers were one of the best teams in the East. He played two games in the round robin. You know, they think a lot of him, and they like that pair with him and Justin Braun. So I would say I think Ghost stays in for game two, but he definitely needs to perform. And let me put it this way. If he has the game he had in game one in game two and the Flyers lose game two, I easily could see Robert Haig back in for game three.
All right, last question is this. Where now, in light of the overtimes grinding up a couple of teams in this conference, how much will that affect what happens as far as the Flyers go? Does it make it easier for them?
You know, it's tough to say. Obviously, Tampa had that five overtime epic a couple days ago. It's hard to say just because the next time they would play, say, a team like Tampa wouldn't be until the conference final, which is quite a ways away. And by then, you know, the fatigue factor might not matter as much. But, yeah, you know, I think it is important for the Flyers, if they're looking to go on a run, to try to take care of business against Montreal as quickly as possible, if for nothing else, because it gives you a chance to, you know, lick your wounds. If you have any guys that are, you know, playing at 70%, give them 4 or 5 days to recuperate and be ready for the next series. So you don't have to jump right back in if you're playing injured. So I think it's always good to finish series as quickly as possible. And if you're not having to play overtime games and your top competition is having to play overtime games, all the better for you.
All right, Charlie, good stuff. And we shall see what happens. This team is carrying this city right now. So it would be really nice if they could play for a Stanley Cup.
It certainly would. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, man. There's Charlie O'Connor, the Athletic. Good stuff. He's a hockey man. You can tell he's a hockey man.
Yeah, he is.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.